Okay, Chizkuni Parshas Tazria Metzora. Again, this is a leap year, but we're still going to do them together because Tazria is kind of short. I apologize about this coming out a little late, but better late than ever. So, the Parsha begins with Isha Ki Sazria, talks about a woman who gives birth. If she gives birth to a boy, she is tummy for 7 days and then tar for 33. If she gives birth to a girl, she is tummy for 14 days and then tar for 66 days. Why the difference? So, the Chizkuni brings the Chazal that they asked us to Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, and he says, because a woman, when she used to give birth, so we all know that she, from Chazal, that she, Chazal assumed that she was regretted ever having gotten pregnant, because remember, they didn't have epidurals back then. So, once, you know, childbirth was painful and dangerous. In fact, Tosfos says in Ksuvus that it was most women died in childbirth, most women were in mortal danger in childbirth. Many died in childbirth. Anyway, we're afraid that she, in the middle of childbirth, she swore that she would never have a kid again. So, that the Chizkuni is going to bring later is why she has to bring a karban asham for swearing falsely, because as soon as the kid is born, she changes her mind. So, but how fast does she change her mind? So that's what Rav Shimon Yochai says. When she gives a boy. So boys back in the day were more popular. I don't know about today if it's necessarily true, but certainly old days, boys were more popular to have than girls. So when a woman would have a boy, she would regret having made that shvua quicker. So she'd want to be with her husband quicker. So after 7 days, she's mutter to her husband, and after a girl, after 14 days. Okay. The Chizkuni here also explains, you know, Chazal tell us about how to have a girl versus a boy, depends whose Zera comes first. So the Chizkuni here also has some additional stuff that I don't know if our medical, the bodies we have today would fit this, and we would say Nishtana Teva. But I'll just tell you what he says. He says, he's bringing this from somewhere else, from Sefer Toldos, that women have different holes, and when the Zera, if she lays down immediately after Bia on the right side, then it goes into the pathway on the right, and then she'll have a boy. If she turns to her left, then the zera will go to the left, and it'll go into the part that'll make her have, to the hole that would be making her have a girl. Again, I don't think our Matthias fits with this necessarily today, but anyway, that's what he says. But just based on that, he had another reason why the tumma is different for a boy and a girl. He said the tumma goes out quicker if it goes to the right side, then as opposed to if it goes to the left side, the tumma goes out slower. I don't know, really understand 100%, but I'm just telling you what he said. Okay, next. We have a bris mila, it says, on day 8. Right, that's in this week's parsha. Famously, this is what the Rambam says, that we learn. The mitzvah of bris mila comes from here, not from Avram, from here. So, anyway, but the Chizkuni says, why on the 8th day? Because on the 8th day, the bris is called Simcha, like it says, Sasanochi Alem Brasecha, which is supposed to refer to, according to Chazal, to the Bris Mila. So it's a time of Simcha, and if the parents are not allowed to be with each other, it's not a time of Simcha for them. So this way, everyone should be B'Simcha, so that's why after we have the Mila on the 8th day, because that's when the husband and wife can be together again for a boy, so everybody's happy. Why the 33 days versus the 66? 33 days of Tara for the boy and 66 for the girl. Again, this must be an Ishtana HaTeva thing because Chazal tell us that they checked this out and the Chizkuni says it's Badaka Menusa, that it takes 33 days for a boy to be formed and 66 for a girl. Again, I'm not a doctor. Maybe there's some truth nowadays to that. I don't know. I don't think that's our Matthias today, but Chazal said it was Badaka Menusa, and he says also that it's true. It's also known that it takes longer for a girl to form than a man. Okay. On to Tzaras. So, we know that Tzaras is, you have this, let's say one of them anyways, that you have this white blotch appear on the skin, and then you have white hairs coming out of it. And of course, the hairs have to come second. And the reason he says this is a simen for tzaras is because once the hair turns white, that's a simen that the basar is dead. So that's why the order has to be, you can't have that the hair turns white and then the tzaraas comes to the skin, because that's irrelevant. It's supposed to be a simmon. So once the skin turns white and the hair turns white, well, that's a sign that it's a serious tzaraas and that the basar of the or has died, and that's why it's a simmon tumah. Then he brings from that next pasuk in Perek Yudalad, pasuk Dalad, that if a lady has a baharis levana, or basaro, she has this baharis, also a type of blotch, white blotch, v'amok in mareha min ha'or, but it's not deeper than the or. So again, this the white is supposed to appear deeper than dark. So Rashi says, Amok in Maram and Ora, it's not deeper than the skin. Rashi says, Lo yadati pirusho. I don't know what that means. So Chizkunin explains what he doesn't understand. He doesn't understand because how could it not be? It's a white blotch. It's not nothing, it's a white blotch. So how could it be that it's Amok in Maram and Ora? By definition, if it's white, it's got to be Amok Maram and Ora. How could it be that it's not deeper than the skin? It's white. So the Chizkunin says, it means it's similar level to the skin. That's his answer. I mean, other Rishonim give different answers, but that's what the Chizkuni says. It means that it's a similar level to the skin. It can be, I guess, call it white, but it's close enough that it doesn't appear deeper. Okay, then it says that the Kohen has to lock, if she has this nega, so the Kohen locks the person up, they have to be locked up for a week. I mean, he doesn't come to see it every week. He comes after 7 days. Why, says the Chizkuni? Because if he came every day, or if he looked at it anywhere in between those 7 days, he wouldn't notice if it grew, if it expanded, if it was pasa. So he only comes after the 7 days, because then he can tell the difference between what it was at the beginning and what it was now. Otherwise, he might not chap that it grew. Okay, then he brings akasha that many Rishonim ask on Rashi, and that's on Pasuk Vav. There it says, if the coin comes at the second week, b'yom ha'shvi yishenis, v'yinei keya ha'nega, the nega was dilute, whatever, not as white, v'lo pasa ha'nega ba'or, but the nega did not expand, then he's mitar him. So it was the nega got lighter, and it didn't expand. So Rashi says here, ha'im amad b'mariso o pasa tamay, if it expanded or it just didn't change, so nothing happened. If he came back after the second week and it did not lower how white it is, then the person's still tummy. And yet Rashi in Megillah, it's on Daf Chesam and Beis, Rashi there says the opposite. He says there that if it just stayed the same, then he's tar. It has to have gotten worse. So that seems to be a stira in Rashi. So like I said, this question is asked by Tosos, by the Rabban. Anyway, I'm just bringing it because the Chizkuni brings that question. It seems to be a stira in Rashi. Okay, then we get up to the... This is interesting. When we get up to the thing about the beard, right? So there, the sar is not called... It's called a netek. So that, right, the beard, the face is different than the rest of the body. The rest of the body, if on your arm, there's a white blotch. That's a nega, and then coming out of it is a white sar. On your face, it's called a nega. But the hair coming out of there has to be yellow to be tummy, and that's called a nesek. That's nesek. Why is it called a nesek? So the Chizkuni explains, because nesek means to fall off. So when the hair turns yellow, again, it's the same lashita, so it's a symptom of what's going on in the face. When the hair turns yellow, it means it's brittle, it's about to fall off. So that's linatek, is to remove. So when it turns yellow, it means it's about to crunch off. And that's a simon tuma of a serious tzaraas. And that is happening because the skin on the face is dead. So we have, what does the tzaraas person do when he's in tzaraas? He acts like a mourner, like an avel. And it says, this is in Pasuk Mem, hey, Hatzarosh Arboa Negeba Gadav Yufrumim, Roshi Yeh Parua, he doesn't cut his hair and his clothes are cut. The al safam yata, and he covers his lips with his cloak. So he's got like when you put on the talus in the morning, it's supposed to be like that. Your talus goes up to cover up to your lips, and the person would bring the scarf up to cover the lips, basically covering the mouth, more or less. So he says, what's the point of that? You ready for this? Tzaraas is catchy. That's what he says. L'hafzik reyach ra hayotzi mipiv shel yazik. Habrios. Somehow, since the person's sick with tzaras, I don't know if the other, if you can literally catch it as a disease, or maybe the person gets some other disease, but he says it's to cover the lips is to protect other people from catching your germs. Fascinating idea. We all know tzaras is miraculous, so it's interesting that you could catch it. And if the person never did have ears, I don't know how it would work, but maybe it means the person's just sick and the other person will be sickened by the reyach ra coming from their mouth. I'm not sure. But that's why you cover your mouth, not like for avelos, but to protect other people. Okay, then another side tidbit of just Hebrew language that he brings. If you find tzaras in pishtim otzemer, in clothing, so one is called shesi, one's called erev, right? When you weave something, you have the shesi and the erev. So the shesi is the part that goes, by the way, just a helpful hint, how do you remember which is which, shesi or erev? So shesi is the vertical and erev is the horizontal. How do you remember that? Because in the erev, you go to sleep and you lay down. That's a great mnemonic someone once told me. The shesi of erev, erev is the nighttime you lay down. That's horizontal. Anyway, but when you're making a loom, so the shesi is the one that goes across the loom, and then the erev is the one that goes through it, sticks, goes through the whole thing. The warp they used to throw through the loom. Anyway, why are they called shesi and erev? Ready for this? Because this is fascinating. So the shesi comes from the word hushtas, like the world is hushtas, was created, the foundation. Shesi is the foundation. And then arev is the thing that mixes it together. It's ma'arev it that puts the whole garment together. Is that good? Anyway, okay, just an interesting thing he mentions. One last piece for Tazria. He just says l'taharo l'tamo. This is at the end. I think it's the last pasuk. Zos teras nega teras bega terma b'shtimach zero erivo kliyor l'taharo l'tamo. So he says that it's the same kohen has to do both. The kohen that's metaru is the kohen that's metamehu. If the guy dies, you can get someone else, but it's supposed to be the same kohen. You're supposed to use the same kohen, not switch kohenim. Okay, Adkan Tazria. Okay, looks like I could have made it a separate cheer, but anyway, Parshas Metzorah. So Parshas Metzorah starts off that you should, when the person wants to become tar, so he comes beyom tahara so. So Chizkuni says this means you should not delay. You're supposed to become tahar right away. You're not supposed to delay it. And then, of course, it says the pasuk says he will go out to the kohen. He's brought to the kohen v'huva la kohen. Now, so the Chizkuni says he can't be huva la kohen. He's not the kohen. He's not allowed to go into Machne Yisrael, so he can't go to the kohen, and you can't use a tamei kohen to do this. So it's huva la kohen means it's told to the kohen to come visit him, and then biyatza kohen mechutz la machne. Then the kohen will go visit him chutz la machne, which he says means they meet on the border, because the kohen doesn't want to go outside the machne to a tamei person either. So they kind of meet on the border. Someone tells the kohen, right? Not like the mashmos. The mashmos is huva la kohen. He's brought to the kohen. That's not the case. Someone tells the kohen, and he goes back and meets the Yisrael, the tzaras man at the border. And again, it has to be a tahar kohen, because it has to be someone who has to be yotzi min ha-machna, not someone who is already chutz ha-machna. So then the guy takes two birds, chayos tahoros. So, and then it says, v'shachat es ha-tzibor ha-echas, the one, which is the one, you're supposed to take the better one. The better one gets shechted for the carbon. And you shechted al mayim chayim. And you have to do it on water because you're going to be dipping the other guy, the other bird, in it. And he says there's not enough. If it's just, you're just dipping in the blood, there's not enough there. So you're doing it on Mayim Chayim, so there's enough to dip, meaning all that stuff, the Eitzer, the Shnitolas, the Ezov, and the bird, they all have to get dipped in there. So it's on top of water with the blood, so there's enough to be dipped in. And then you take the bird and you dip it in this mixture along with the other stuff. You sprinkle it on the person getting taras, I think it's the back of the hand, he says. And then you send the bird, the live bird, al pnei hasadeh. And what's the purpose of all this? So the Chizkuni says some very, very, very interesting mashalim over here. That this is all supposed to be a mashal to the taras man, meaning that we're trying to say this person had taras, he was like a mace, and now he's being sent free. Now he could go mix back amongst the Jewish people. So that's the Indian of sending him out. And it's not supposed to come back. And it actually brings that if the bird you send out comes back to your house that day, it's a siman that tzaras is coming back. But they're supposed to send it out, meaning to say he's free of it, he's free to go, and now he can return to his home and be amongst the people. He was like a mace, and now he's going back to be ma'ariv with the people. Now, also, he brings a fascinating thing, that we want the tzipor that you send out to be colored red. Why? This way, it'll go out amongst its peers, and they'll see it red, and they'll get all angry, and they'll all attack it and kill it. And this way, no one else will ever take that bird for their carbon, because once it's used for someone, it can't be used again. What he says, but he says, of course, the halacha, la halacha, if it turns out that you did take one that was used, it is actually kosher. Like Chazal say, b'chi amarta Torah shaleach letakala, that the Torah say to send it out, so you should be a takala for someone. It's not that it's actually possible, but we don't want you to use it. So that's what he says. It's colored blood, and then it'll get killed, and it won't ever be used again, which is interesting. Then on the seventh day, he has to the seventh day, he has to take off all the hair on his body. So this is obviously a negative thing. Nobody wants to take off all the hair on their body, literally all the hair on their body. And the Chizkuni says something that nobody but nobody else says. He says that this is all for the Metzorah, because he's, this is a bad thing. So he gets completely shorn. But by the Levium also, that they were told to be Megalech all their sar, there it meant a haircut. It didn't mean to take off all the hair. There it meant that they should look good, like they're about to serve the king, so they should get a haircut. So they shore all the hair that makes sense to shear. They cut it. They made it look good. Nobody else says that pshat. Everyone, in fact, is Midrashim, like he brings in the notes here, there's Midrashim that say that no one recognized Korach because he had taken off all the hair on his whole body and nobody could recognize him. Pashta says it's the exact same thing, that the shearing of a Metzorah is exactly what the Levium did. And it did not make them look good. But the Chizkuni says no, it was actually make them look good. That's why the Levium had to take a haircut. Okay, then we have, if somebody can't afford all this, Imdal Vein Yado Masegas. So the Chizkuni just points out, isn't that repetitive? Imdal Vein Yado Masegas is the exact same thing. If he's poor and he can't afford it, it's the same thing. So if he can't afford the whole Karbanos mentioned before. So anyway, what does it mean, Dal and Yado Masegas? So he says, because you could be Dal. Dal can mean like weak or whatever. So it has to explain that it doesn't mean that kind of Dal. Bim Dal Hu, meaning En Yado Masegas, meaning he's poor. Because you could have a Dal who does not mean that he's poor, it just means he's weak. As it says, which I wouldn't have thought this is what this means, but Kimo Maskil El Dal. Maskil El Dal means someone physically weak or dumb or whatever. Anyway, this dal means poor. Okay, then we have the discussion about nigei batim, the gayim in the houses. So it says, when you'll get to Eretz Yisrael, then there'll be nigei batim. So what do you mean when you get to Eretz Yisrael? And in the Midbar, if there was tzaras in the Midbar, why wouldn't there be nigei batim in the Midbar? Well, one pshat is there wasn't. Maybe they didn't have houses, whatever. But anyway, one pshat is that there wasn't nigei batim in the Midbar. The other one says, because it's a mile of Eretz Yisrael that has to be tar, so therefore even the houses have to be tar. It's specific to Eretz Yisrael that has that mila, that you need houses to be tar. And the last pshat he brings is that it says, Abeita Bedunas Kol Mekamosh Avdu Shama Goyim, right? You have to destroy all the places in Eretz Yisrael that the Goyim worshipped. How in the world are you supposed to know what that is? So he says there would be tzaras in all the houses that the Goyim worshipped, so they would know exactly what to knock down. Okay, then we have the Pasuk says in Pasuk Chavtalid, Zos HaTorah L'chol Nega Tzaras. This is the Torah for the whole Nega Tzaras. What does that mean? So Chizkuni says an interesting thing. You're not allowed to look at a Nega, meaning a Kohen is the one who has to see the Nega and Paskin on it, what it is, or at least say the words Tami or Tar. You're not supposed to be someone who's Roa Nega to Paskin on it until you know all of the different Maros Negayim and your Bucky and all their names and whatever. So that's Zos Taras, the whole Nega Taras. You have to know the whole Nega Taras, he says, before you Paskin on a Nega, which I guess is logical, but interesting. Then we have the part about the Zav and the Zava. So it says when that'll be Zav Mi Besara or Zav Mi Besara. So as he has said before, Besara or Besaro is a nice way of saying the Makom Erva. It's a clean way of saying the Makom Erva. Again, if you remember, like before in the other, I think it was in Tzav, we were talking about the Big Day Kahuna, and there it said that he'll Michnasayim al Besaro. It's also a nice way of saying that it's a cover for the erva. So here, when it's zav mi b'saro, b'saro means makam erva. That's where it comes from. And by the zava, what makes a woman a zava? So everybody knows it means after her days of nida, so she has yemei ziva, and then if she sees 3 days in a row, so that makes her a zava gedola. 3 days, so the pasuk calls it yomim rabim. If she's zav, yomim rabim. Yomim rabim, you know, 3 days is not a long time. Why is it called yomim rabim? So he explains the chizkuni that it's because when a man and a woman are not together, it's days of tsar. And therefore it's called yomim rabim, like by Mitzrayim, hey bayimim harabim ha'ela. So yomim rabim means bad times, difficult times, tsar times. So that's why, since the husband and wife are separate, it's called yomim rabim. And again, that's based on the Tanchuma. Then just finally, there is a mitzvah to count the Shiva Yimei Tara. A woman has a mitzvah of a Safrala, she has to count, but she does not make a bracha. Even though it's a mitzvah to count the 7 days of a woman's Tara, she does not make a bracha. Why does she not make a bracha? So the Chizkuni gives the same answer. Tosfos Ksuvah says that it's because in case she has a Re'iyah, and breaks up those 7 days, and turns out it's a bracha levatala. He says that out explicitly. It's a bracha levatala, which again you wouldn't have thought it is. You would have thought the mitzvah is just to count, but apparently the mitzvah is to count 7 days. And if you don't get 7 days of tara, if you don't get 7 days of tara, it's a bracha levatala. And therefore, since that might happen, that's why we don't make a bracha. It almost sounds similar. You know, this is around Pesach time. It almost sounds similar to the mitzvah of bedikas chametz. You know, we say, make a bracha al bir chametz, we put out the 10 pieces in case you don't find chametz. It's a bracha levatala. How could be a bracha levatala? Isn't the mitzvah just to check? Similar to this. Isn't the mitzvah just to count? Okay, so not necessarily. Maybe the mitzvah is to count successfully, count 7 days, and perhaps the mitzvah because chametz similarly would be the mitzvah to find chametz. If you don't find, you don't succeed, then the whole thing was a bracha levatala. Okay, it's a chumra by bedikas chametz, but anyway, that's what he says here about a woman counting her yimei Tara, that there's no bracha because it might be a bracha levatala. Okay, that's it.